Glory be to God. You know, and I'm going to give you a little a side excursion. I know the ministry is under attack. Let me help the church right quick. I'm going to give you a real quick perspective. The church is under attack. Amen. And I'm not moved by the opposition. Amen. Because I know it's spiritual warfare because you advance in God's kingdom. Yeah. So therefore, don't be deceived. Think it not strange, as the scripture says. And the reason you're under attack is because you got something. Yeah. Ain't nobody trying to stop somebody that ain't got nothing. What threat is you to me? You ain't got nothing. You ain't doing nothing. Watch this. Or neither are you after something. As she said, have an exit. Some stuff going to come in your way to try to keep you from getting what God has been to give you. So you got to see the attack from many angles. But I want to give you this text. This is before I preach, so you can have this to go home with. Amen. And I was sharing this with a woman of God, and I just want to, I felt it's a public word. When I say public, all of us can eat on this. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 22. I'm going to read it out of two contexts so that you can catch this. I'm going to still get a chance to preach my message, and I thank God for the pulpit ministry that made way. Amen. I looked up last week, and it was 20 minutes to 12. I couldn't even get the plane off the ground. I was trying to push it down the runway, but I couldn't get, by the time I was ready to go up, the time was here. Amen. But look at this text, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Now, I know we all have heard this text, but see, the scripture says in Timothy that study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, knowing how to rightly divide the word. See, that light is on that machine. You can have a word, but if you don't know how to rightly divide that word, you could never get the benefit of the word. Amen? Amen. So now watch this text. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Wow. Now, this is what Jesus is talking to Simon about. And Simon's standing there, and Jesus pulls up on him, and he says, Simon, Simon, this ain't even a public thing. This is me and you, Simon. Simon, Simon, the Lord, he said, behold, pay attention. Ponder and consider what I'm about to say. Satan has desired to have you. Amen. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brother. Now let me read it out of the Amplified so you can get a clear picture. The Amplified says, Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him. Not just you, Peter. I know I'm talking to you because I'm dealing with you and yours, but Satan trying to get all of you. But what is he trying to get you for? He says to get all of you to be given unto him out of the power and keeping of God, that he may sift all of you like grain. Now he's saying Satan has asked excessively. This ain't his first time coming to me about you. He's been asking excessively. This means this is repeatedly he's been coming trying to hit you. You don't know it. And this is what I like about it. Satan had to ask. See, the devil can't take you. Come on, God got a head. But he comes to God to ask, can he have you? All right. But what is he after? He's after the power. All right. See, you walking in something. Just because you make mistakes, see, you can drop the ball, but don't lower the mark. Yeah. Don't drop the bar. See, you walking in the power of God, and especially when you got grace up on your life. So Satan has to come, and he's trying to get you out of that power, one. But then he's trying to get you out of the hedge of your protection. See, you under the covering of God. But then verse 32 says, now this is the one that blessed me, and I'm going to go into my real message. He said, but I have prayed for you, not the deacon, not the elder, not pastor. God says, I'm praying for you. There's stuff going on in your life that God say, I'm going to step in and let you know I got you. I ain't going to send the church to pray for you. I got you. Because see, there's some stuff that's going on in your life. The devil didn't send an imp. He didn't send a demon. He showed up himself. He said, I can't afford you to get loose. I can't afford you to get away. So I'm not going to entrust somebody else to take care of this one. This one too big. You too important. You can make too much of an impact on people. So I'm going to have to come myself. Oh, God, help us here. He says, and but I have prayed for thee that thy what? That your faith fail not. Now, right here, I'll send you home and make you go study. He didn't say that your Bible. He didn't say that your believing. He said that your faith. See, faith ain't for you to get a car and all that. Faith is for you to have trust in God. See, we using our faith for all them games and gimmicks to get this and get that. But faith ain't for that. Faith is for you just to believe God. There's some situation that you're going to have to believe God. You're going to have to believe God is. Not I can get a car. I'm going to use my faith to get a car. Faith ain't a means to get something. Faith is a way of life. So you got to believe God. So he says that I pray that your faith fail not. Don't give up just because of the circumstance. Don't give up just because it's bigger than you. I'm telling you to believe God. Not have faith that you're trying to believe. I just believe God. I ain't got but a little faith, but it's in God. It's not how much I believe. I'm telling you what I believe. I believe God. And then the text goes on to say, now after I pray for you, when you are.
When, that's right. All right.
He didn't say, will you be?
All right.
He didn't say, will you get healed? Will you get out of this? Will you get? He said, when. When's indicative of it's already established. It's already done. This is a predetermined set time. Can I just help myself? I'm trying to tell you this morning by the Holy Ghost that don't be moved by what's going on. Right. Keep your faith in God because you're in a win-win situation. Now, let's get into what I came here for. I just threw that out for those that was here. Amen. Glory be to God. Hebrews chapter 6. Are you there? My God, my God. I feel the fire of God. See, I know when I'm under pressure, I got to run to him, not from him. Boy, if I can preach this right. Hebrews chapter 6. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor I'm there.
Amen.
Amen, and let's begin together. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It says, therefore, let us go. It says, excuse me, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Keep reading. And of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word and the hearers and the doers thereof. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. Now this morning, I'm going to do a, I told you I got to teach this time, amen? I can't preach. You can be in the church and they be preaching for years and you never learn nothing. Because preaching is different from teaching. You can feel better, but did you learn anything? Amen? You have to understand there's a difference, amen? I'm coming this morning to teach this, amen? So I'm going to slow it down so we can break it down. Amen. So you need to have your Bibles, your pencil and paper because we are in the school learning of the Lord. Amen. Now the text says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, you know, the Lord is gracing us to be able to have a knowledge about him, not just go to the church, but we need some word. Amen. I'm growing up in the things of God. I want to grow, so therefore I need to be enhanced. And here's what the text says. It says, therefore leaving the principles, and that word principles is first things. meaning leaving the elementary things. He says leaving the beginning, amen. So he's assuming and presupposing that we already got this. Because he's really saying, let's go on into maturity. Let's learn some deeper things, some greater things. But I'm assuming that you got this. But since, my God, can I get help myself? Since I'm just getting started as a pastor and we're just becoming acquainted, I won't presuppose that you got it. So I'm going to take the time and forgive me for my redundancy if I go over something that you already had. But the Bible says that it's safe. Amen. If I do this, it's safe for you. Amen. So that you can be built up in it. But what I'm trying to share with you is how to become what God called us to be. Amen. Right. Strong in the Lord, not strong in church attendance. All right. Not strong in our singing the choir. Yeah. Not strong that I'm a part of the usher group, but you're not strong in the Lord. All right. All right. And in order to be strong in the Lord, you must know about the Lord. So let's talk on. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, which he said, let's mature. Let's go to the next level. And he says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. See, in the doctrine of Christ, there is six principal foundations or six pivotal foundation stones that you must build off of. Amen. And this is what we've been to talk about. Today, I'm going to give you all six as a layout so you can have it on for your notes and you can track with me. And then as we go on, we'll develop them one by one. But I want to expound on terms today because sometimes based on where we come from, if you say certain terms, it make me think certain pictures. Amen. So when we talk about, as the scripture says, the doctrine of Christ, when you use word doctrine, man, we get funny because I'm thinking you talking about a set of people. We talking about a movement. You talking about I'm finna get involved in something that, you know, bans me. That's really not what the word doctrine means. Amen. But we have to know that so that when you hear it, we don't become prejudiced to the word because of what we assumed it meant. Because nobody took the time to really tell me or show me what it did mean. Amen. And as a result, I prejudged the statement. So here we says, and verse 2, and of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Let's look at all six of them one more time. And I want y'all to read it with me. Let's start with verse 1 and begin. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation. Here go the first one. Repentance from dead works. That's the first principle. That's the first doctrine we're going to talk about. Repentance from dead works. Here go the second one. Faith towards God. I'm pointing out all six so you would be able to identify them. Faith towards God. The third one. The doctrine of baptisms. Now he didn't say one baptism. He said plural. Baptisms. So we deferring that there's more than one. I'm telling you, I know at least seven of them. You're like, man, where you get that from, Pastor? Now, you know, we don't know nothing about no seven baptisms. We know baptism into the water. We know baptism into the Holy Ghost. And I ain't really got into that one. But here you talking about there's seven of them. Well, let's stay with the teaching. Okay, the doctrine of baptisms. Here go another one, the laying on of hands. We got to understand what is that for. We got folk walking around laying hands on, but do you really know what you're doing? Or are you trying to do something you saw somebody else do? And what are you doing to me? Amen. We want to learn about that. And then it says of the resurrection of the dead. That's the fifth one. And then eternal judgment. That's the sixth one. Amen. So now let's go ahead and build upon this revelation so that we can come up with the mind of God and being knowing how to rightly divide the word. Are you hearing anything so far? Now, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We know the text, but I just want you to... I like making you use your Bible, amen? Because if we don't become skilled in the word, we just walking around dancing and jumping, but we're really not spiritually able to fight. And my job as your pastor and your spiritual coach is to get you to be able to fight so we can keep the win that we got.
Right.
Amen. We already won. You don't have to win, but you do have to keep your victory.
Right.
I'm not trying to get you no victory. You already got the victory. That came through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But what you got to learn is how to keep your victory. Because he ain't going to keep coming. He don't keep coming back every time. You got everything you're going to get out of Jesus.
Right.
You just got to learn the Jesus you got. It's like your alphabets. You don't get no more alphabets. You got 26 of them. You just got to learn how to use the 26 you got. I can't spell nothing. I'm 28 years old. Come on, kid. No, that's it. Come on, man, 28 years old, you ain't learned how to spell nothing. Unless you got some paperwork saying something wrong, Doc, we got a problem. Somebody done you wrong. That's why I had a little problem with all the athletes. Man, that kid's 6'4", 6'5". Y'all took him and played basketball all his life. Now he down there getting ready to sign for the contract, and he can't read. He needs an interpreter to sign for the victory you told him he got. You failed that man. First year up in the game, he got injured. Now he don't play no more, plus he can't read. Because you didn't think it was important enough to teach him how to read. You just wanted to use him for his gift. Oh, y'all help. Are you in 2 Timothy chapter 2? And verse 15, the scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you can wrongly divide the word as well as you can rightly divide the word. Let me give you an example. And I'm saying all this because I'm going somewhere. You know the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore, amen. We all know this. But watch this. Rightly dividing the word. This is why you got so many little bitty churches out here. One got 9 members, one got 11, one got 28, but they've been in there 15 years. Because he said, rightly divide the word. Now go ye therefore and preach the gospel and draw all nations. Watch this. Now, Jesus talking to the man of God, go ye therefore, which is the Great Commission. But now the greater commission, right while I'm telling you that you're going, the greater commission is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Wait until you receive power. So I just told you to go, but yet I'm telling you to wait. So the great commission is go ye therefore, but before you go, I was just really telling you the plan that God got for you that you're going to go preach. But I didn't tell you to leave right now. So go ye therefore is the great commission. But the greater commission is wait till you receive power. Mean that wait till I infuse you. Wait till I teach you. Wait till I give you the grace to do that. You just left. I turned around to go get the water and you gone. I keep going into service every week, every month. I get a letter that you done went in. I'm over on such and such street and we beginning to work. I just told you 2 weeks ago. When did you feel that you had it and you was ready to go? So he said, the great commission, go you therefore. The greater commission, wait till you receive power. The greatest commission is that you would be a witness.
Right.
Right there in that same text. He said, wait till you receive power by the Holy Ghost that you may be a
witness.
What can you witness if you ain't learned?
All
right. So what happened is we got folks that went and was not sent.
Yeah.
Rightly dividing the word. See, if we don't learn how to handle this book, we become dangerous to ourselves and other people. You know, there was one guy that said he invited another pastor to his fellowship. I was telling a brother, and he said he wanted the pastor to come down and be a part of his 12-year anniversary. And the man was in the church for 12 years. He got 25 people. The pastor said, look, man, let's just be real. This ain't your 12-year anniversary. This still your first year anniversary. You just done celebrated it 12 times. Come on, somebody. You ain't grown, man. You ain't with no... Come on. So all I'm saying is learning how to rightly divide the word. Now let's go ahead and begin. Come on, somebody. Stay with me. Because my job is to teach you I'm not here to get you to do all that. We had the choir and the praise and worship blessed us as much, you know what I'm saying? But let's get down to the business at hand. So now the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let's work with that term doctrine, because I want you to be able to walk out of here with a clear picture of what the Bible is saying so you would know how to use your Bible. Now, that word doctrine is the same word as logos. When you check it out in the Greek, W.E. Vine's dictionary, it's the same word as logos. And we dealt with that on last week in terms of logos is the written word, rhema is the spoken word. But let's work with it. So now, logos is the word personified. Meaning logos is the word personified, is that which was being transformed as in human nature, having human power. So the word of God became personified, meaning it was transferred into human nature. Go to John chapter 1. I want to give you a Bible with your understanding. Because God said, I won't have you ignorant if you pay attention. I already know that, Pastor. No. See, that's the problem. You know what you know, but you don't know that you don't know what you don't know. Stay with me. I'm going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Stay with me. It's going to get worse. Watch this. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. So now the Word had an eternal existence. It ain't just started when you brought your Bible. The Word was already. I got to make this so plain that we can pick it up. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. When was that? In the beginning. So in the beginning was the Word. Now the Word has not yet been personified. He's just telling you where it was in the beginning. And where it was seated at in the beginning. It was with God. Is that right? Is that in your Bible? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, Jesus had the same power and authority as God in the beginning in terms of his position. But you know, man failed, so God looked over and said, son, I need you to go and run this errand for me. I checked out and looked at the man that messed up down there, and I got to go redeem them back to where I blessed them to be, because they forsook that. They gave the power back up when they was in the garden. So Jesus left from being with God to come down, and he had to become like man. Remember, we went to the text, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child was born, but unto us a son was given. The child was born was Jesus. The son that was given was Christ. So Christ left being with the Father to come down and be with us. Am I making any sense so far? Now go to verse 14. See, I want to walk this down so you have, I'm talking about, the job and the art of preaching is not to say stuff to make you sit up, wow, I don't know what's going on. No, my job is to make something complicated very simple. Not to sit up here and mesmerize you, say stuff you don't know what I'm talking about. Hope I pray you pray I know what I'm talking about. No, my job is to make this so simple we all walk out of here. Amen. With an understanding and a revelation of what God was saying. So now in verse 14, are you there? Now Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now verse 14 says, now the Word and the Word, and let's use this right, and Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us. So now the Word has become personified. It was made flesh and dwelt among us. Are you with me? So now we know where the Word is. This is the Word in the written form. And if you want to go a little further, then the scripture says, now Christ is in you. You don't have to go looking for him. He's in you. The hope of glory. So now, When you want to know what God is saying, here's the word. But when you want to know what God is saying about your current situation, you go to the word and allow the Spirit of God to reveal to you the rhema. This is the letter. A lot of folks talking about the letter, but they can't get a rhema. They can't make this word talk. Because you got to have a relationship. This is why the scribes and the Pharisees, they were all legal doctors of the scriptures. They were back then, in their time, they was authorities of the scriptures, meaning they could study and retain, and they knew history. So they can break it down, but that didn't mean they had a relationship with God. So you can have professors in school teaching theology and don't even know the Lord. They just know the letter. Am I helping you? See, all right, stay with me. So now, we at this point, that the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became God. Now, we're looking for now the Word to be made manifested or become rhema to us. I need a now word, not with Moses and them. I understand what that meant. Help me to make that make sense to me now, preacher. This is where we come into a revelation, amen, a revelatory word, meaning that God has to talk to you when you read. Not just you capable of reading. Thank God you can read. But my question is, do you have a relationship that God would talk to you about what you read? That's when you get into rhema, amen? So now when we look at this word doctrine, the word doctrine is really just telling us it's the same word as logos. It's the same word as doctrine, but it's also the same word as teaching. Now, there's three Greek words that go with this word doctrine. The first Greek word is called didasko, D-I-D-A-S-K-O, didasko. The second Greek word, this is just for your learning. I'm putting it on the tape so we can have it. The second Greek word is didaska. This is what, see, now one is the dasko. Well, let's say the dashe, D-A-D-A, it's D-I-D-A-C-H-E, the dashe. But then you got the didaskalia, D-I-D-A-S-K-I-L-I-A. Now, this is to teach, to train, and to learn. So the doctrine in a more simplified way is just a teaching about a subject. So if you want to use our modern day vernacular, if you go to college, they got a doctrine on automotive. This is the teaching they have on the subject of automotive. You got go to college, they got a doctrine on culinary. This is the teaching that they have on the subject of culinary arts. You go for medicine. This is the doctrine of medicine. This is the teaching that they have on medicine. So when he said in Ephesians chapter 6, the doctrine of Christ, what he's saying is this is the teaching that we have about Christ. So now when you hear that word doctrine, we don't have to think we being lured into something as a sect or a group. No, we are being introduced to something for your teaching and your learning. And the objective of the teaching is that you would become a disciple. Where you can leave the school call it a doctorate, not doctrine. Doctrine is what I'm going to teach you. A doctorate is what you earned because I taught you. So when you come out of the school, you get a confirmation that you completed your course. Well, the same thing happens in the church. You have to come out of the church with somebody confirming that you have developed to the level to teach what you're saying. Amen? So now this is what discipleship is to teach what you've been taught. You can't be a football commentator if you don't know nothing about football. Every time they get to talking and they come to you, they got to go to commercial. Because you don't know nothing about the subject. Because nobody taught you about the game. And the worst thing you can think is, I already know. Now you saying you a subject, you are authority on the subject, and we got you up in the public, and when we ask you a question, you don't know. Or you say something stupid. Now everybody that do know that you don't know. They be like, that ain't how that go, man. Cut that out, Doc. Get him up off of there. Get her out of there. Get somebody in there that do know. So when we become disciples for Christ, basically what we're saying, we have been taught and trained in Christ's doctrine, so now we come to teach what we've been taught. See, when you get your degree from the school, really what they're saying is we're releasing you to go out into the public now and either teach what you learned or practice what you learned. But we're confirming that you learned it. Am I helping anybody? See, God says, I want us to be disciples for Christ. We got too many folks running around with the tag on, but you can't talk. You have no knowledge. So when it comes down to somebody using you to, you can't even go to the scriptures. How are you going to be a witness if you didn't see the accident? Don't make up nothing. People can go to jail off of that. Did you see it or did you not? Was you there? No, nah, well, they told me. You wasn't no witness. That's a third party.
All right.
That's a speculation. Well, in Bible term, you got interpretation, you got interpolation, and then you got, interpretation. This is when you tell me. Good God, I'm going too far.
No, do it.
See, watch this. See, you got a word from the Lord. That was your interpretation. But now after you got that word, you come and tell me, that turns into an interpolation. That's not interpretation. I never heard the word. I'm taking it from what you said. That's interpolation. By the time it get down 3-5 down, you know how that go. I wish I knew a word to give you. It's interpretation. They done messed it all up. You know, after they done told it 3-4 times, it ain't what it was. Because every time they tell it, they lose something. You had to been there. Pretty soon you just ask, man, was you there? You talking about it's Mark and John. It wasn't, man, the papers say it was Paul and Silas. Man, you wasn't even there. You just trying to say something. Because you want to be involved in the conversation. Check the text. So now. So watch this. So now we understand the doctrine is dealing with the teaching. So now when you go back and see Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. All he's saying is leaving the principles of the teachings of Christ. You say, how is that so? Because he started right next to that telling you what the teachings is. See, you got to rightly divide words. We done beat up. You ever seen somebody try to sing a song and they beat that song up? I'm talking about, you be like, God, man, I know if that person that wrote that song heard you, they would be mad with you. You beat that song up so bad, it didn't sound nothing like what they started with. You need to get you another one. Well, that's how we doing scriptures. We trying to act like we spiritual, and we beating them texts up. Man, that text ain't said, no, I don't even know how you got nothing out of that like that. Okay, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So now watch this. So the purpose of the doctrine is to teach, to train, and to instruct. But now a disciple is a disciplined person who has been taught, trained, and instructed in a teaching. That's why they call us disciples for Christ. It's because they assuming somewhere we've been taught, trained, and instructed in the teachings about Christ. So now if we go on from there, I don't want to mess with too many more texts because I want to develop the point at hand. So now as we're looking at this, let's go back to the teachings. And I'm just going to give you the introduction and the scriptures. And next Sunday, if you come back, we're going to begin on the first principle of the doctrine of Christ, which is repentance from dead works. But let's name them, because I want you to look at your Bible, because you ain't got it, we got to train. Don't be looking at me like you got it, because we're going to be faking. No, ain't no shame in not knowing. That's why we train. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It says, therefore, when you get there, say amen. See, I want us to be skilled, y'all. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on, not laying again. What is the first principle? Wait. Slow down. Y'all sound real good, but slow it down. What's the first principle? Repentance from dead works. What's the second principle? What's the third principle? What? There you go, baptisms. What's the fourth principle? What's the fifth principle? What's the sixth principle? See, now, if you can go right now, go to another church, and this ain't no slight on the members. This is on the preacher. Is they preaching this? This in our Bible. So if I don't got this, and he said this is the foundation. Really what he's saying is every message that is being preached should stem from one of them rocks. If you your teaching don't line up, what is you teaching? That's not Christ. I don't care how far off, six layers down, track it back to one of them rocks, because there's only six of them. But now let's go ahead and put some text to it so you can walk out of here with Bible. Because I want you to be able to open up this Bible. Not sing no songs. And I mean, ain't nothing wrong with singing. And not being able to jump up and down talking about how good he is. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But when the devil come to your house, the only thing he gonna understand is it's written. If you can't tell the devil where it's written about his history, you won't be able to get him out your house. I don't care how long you go to church, who your pastor, what you do in the church. He ain't, that's what you do. What he's concerned with is you a son. Have you matured enough to know what's written? Your children don't know nothing about your bills. When the bill man come, he don't ask where the kids at. That's perverted. That doctor want to know where the adults at, because I want to know who know about this here, because y'all owe me. He know them kids ain't got that money. Go get your mama. I mess with that, because he didn't even say go get your daddy, because if your daddy was on his job, I wouldn't even be here. So go get your mama. We ain't going to talk to your daddy. I ain't got time to be wasting, because he going to come to the door in his pride. You can't come to my house like that. Well, then throw my money out. Yeah, I ain't got to be at your house. I ain't got no fetish to be at your house. I'm at your house because you ain't got my money. Now throw my money out, I'll leave your house. Until you throw my money out, go get that woman that got that money. Do y'all mess with me a little bit? All right, let's go. My last 15 minutes, let me put this down so it can be on record, because I want you to have this so that you will be able to go back and study this so that it would be able to expound upon the scriptures with understanding, amen? Not just be ghost busting. I can't say all this. How many of y'all already knew this? Raise your hand. Now you in church. All right. How many of y'all didn't know it? Raise your hand. Now y'all might go to heaven. The rest of them, we're going to pray about it. That's why we're here, amen? You just proved my point. I'm just kidding. I only kid those I love. Yeah. You think I'm kidding, huh? Look at Matthew chapter 4. Let's put some text to this. Do you enjoy growing?
Yes.
Do you enjoy learning? I'm talking about knowing something, y'all. Not just thank God for the church and all that. But, man, I need to know something. Watch this. Matthew chapter 4. Now, the first one is repentance from dead works. Look at Matthew chapter 4. I'm just going to run through these so you can have them as your notes. Look at verse 17. When you get this, say amen. And the scripture says, from the time that Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So now John is preaching this message, and he's telling them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You don't turn right over, right next door. Look at 5 and 16. Rest right next door. You ain't got to go nowhere. Just skip over to the next yard. And look at verse, look at 16. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So he said repentance from dead works is indicative of there has to be some good works in order to be some dead works. See, dead works is that which man do trying to get right with God. I don't go to church, I don't do this, I just do this. That don't mean you right with God. That's dead works, man. You get into the kingdom of God by the way the king made the entrance. It's through Jesus. So all that doing, all that don't make you right with God. That's dead works. So he said repentance from dead works. Let's keep going. Look at faith towards God. Go to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. I'm giving you Bible to go with you. See, there's a difference between philosophy and theology. Philosophy is what I think about something. Theology is what God said about it. So you got a lot of folks trying to live in live their Christianity out of their philosophy. It's just the way we did it. It's how, that don't make no difference. That's not what God said. Are you in Mark chapter 11? Look at verse 22. That's why I like the Mormons and all them. I know their theology is wrong, but I like their disciplines. Them folk fall to your door and they correct. They break that Bible out, get to running that stuff. You sitting up there like this. Well, it could be. He said, show me that. Huh? Show me that. Huh? Show me that. Huh? Next thing you know, you're right. You got a lot of Christians that went to Mormonism not because they believe in what, they don't know their Bible. And they was impressed when them folk ran up on you flipping them scriptures. You must be right. It's in there. No, he ain't right. Because they don't know how to rightly divide it. But you wrong because you don't even know. I'm trying to keep some of my members from being Mormons. That's all I'm doing, y'all. Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 22. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, what? Have faith in God. Boy, I can mess with this real good. Because you don't have to go there, but put it down for your own learning. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he says, him that come to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. See, so many of us using faith to get stuff, but you don't even believe in the one you're getting it from. Your faith ain't for you to get cars and jobs and all that. That's a byproduct of your faith. Your faith is given to you to believe that God is. How you gonna love somebody you don't know? See, we don't even know God. We don't know the word, but I love the Lord. No, you don't love him. Wait till something else comes that you love more. That's why he said, Jesus, Peter, love me more than... Why? Because he said, you're gonna be contrast or compared with something that you do love. And if you don't know me, you're going to choose that over me. Don't tell me I ain't lying. Cigarettes, sex, whatever. Love me more than these. Love me more than that. That make me feel good. I thought I made you feel good. Let's keep going because y'all looking at me strange. So we got repentance from dead works. We got faith towards God. Now this is the one that you really stump folks. Let's get to the doctrine of baptisms. Because now you saying, Pastor, I do know. How many of y'all knew at least seven of them? Raise your hand. Stand up and give them to me. I'm messing with you. I told you I went to that school and they said, say more about that. Yeah, you said you know. Say more about that. No. I know I taught it. Yeah, we taught it. But watch this. I'm just messing. Stay with me. I want you to have it. Let's look at it. The doctrine of baptisms. So he's saying there's more than one. Let's go. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. See, if you're taking notes, you're a bad person. Because you're sitting there talking about your head going to get this. Your head already gone. Your head ain't getting this. Get the tape. I mean, when I first heard it, I was sitting there mesmerized. I was more astonished that he knew what he was talking about than what he was talking about. because I ain't know none of it. I was like, God, I thought the little water was it, and the little Holy Ghost will do you. That doctor got 7 more. 5 more of them. Amen. Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Let's look at verse, for the sake of time. Let's look at verse 2. Look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. See, this was an Old Testament type of salvation. Jesus had not came yet, so this is how they was doing it back then. But it's Bible. See, the Old Testament is the types and shadows of the New Testament. The Old Testament is that which was concealed. The New Testament is that which is revealed. See, just because they did it in the old don't mean we should still be doing it. We're under a new covenant. Now, they ain't saying the old practices is wrong, but why should I walk around pushing a buggy when I can buy a car? Now, they did do it back then, but that don't mean I got to do it. And if you do it now, that don't mean you're wrong. I'm just not doing that now. That's not how we do it. I wasn't even born when they were pushing that. Why would I go get a car? Man, get me a car so I can get there and get back. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm up under a better way. Now, I ain't saying the old way ain't good, but this is a more excellent way. And I can't improve on what God has done. If he say this the way, this the way. Now, if you want to do it that way, do it. But don't say this ain't the way, because this is the way he's doing it now. Is that helping you? I'm trying to teach it right. So that's baptism into the cloud. Go to Luke chapter 3. I'm going to get you out of here. Luke chapter 3 and look at verse 3. See, God won't have us ignorant, y'all. And once you begin to know them scriptures and speak just like any other field, the more you know about it, you become powerful in it. Luke chapter 3, verse 3. And it says, and it came, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance and for the remission of sins. Now, this is John's preaching the baptism of repentance. Because remember I told you, I don't want to go here because of time, but remember I told you in John chapter 1, verse 29 last week, that Jesus, John said, here come he that taketh away the sin, not sins. This is he that take away the sin of the world, meaning Jesus came to take away our sin nature. This is talking about dealing with your sins. You know, after you saved, you know, you Christians, ain't we? Don't you know you still sin? So one had to deal with my nature, one dealing with my conduct. I'm still got, you know, I'm growing, I'm training to be a Christian. So I don't hit the mark every time, but don't lower the bar. So he says, one is dealing with me getting right with God, the other dealing with my conduct. I'm going to work with that a little bit, but not today. See, if you learn how to rightly divide the word, you won't be every week, I got to get right with God. You already right with God. You're just training to be who you are. We got so many people that walked away from Christianity, I can't do it. You know, because I still do this, I still do that. That don't mean you ain't who you are. That just means you got a character flaw. And the Bible says grace covers a multitude of your sins. Not that sin. Jesus had to come and get, somebody had to have the same power to get in that ground to deal with sin. Grace don't cover your sin. That's my nature. It covers my sins, my conduct. But I need a God to get in that ground and get back up. I give the Lord a hand of praise. All right, we got repentance. You got the baptism into the cloud. You got baptism of repentance. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. Are you hearing anything? Don't worry about having it all right now. Just take good notes. We're going to go back and dig it out. But I want us to be able to know you on the point. You standing on that rock. This is about the revelation of Christ. This ain't just you coming up with something. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Hurry up now, y'all on my time. Verse 13. When you get there, say amen. It says, for by the Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. So now this is the baptism into his body. This is where we all get into the body of Christ. Long as you got the same Spirit of God, I don't care whether you're cap, what, you know what I'm saying? You enter the body. This is not into my church. I'm talking about into the church. See, we got folks wrestling about this and that. You don't even understand what you're saying. There's only one body, one Spirit, one baptism. You got to be in him to get in that. The only disqualification for you to be in the body of Christ is you ain't in him. Is that? I'm trying to help you. Okay, let's keep going. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 47. So you got baptism into the cloud, baptism of repentance. You got baptism into his body. Now look at Acts chapter 10, verse 47. This is baptism into water. Come on now. And we're going to learn about that one. Whole lot of folks thinking that's something else. Ain't it good to know the word? Acts chapter 10, verse 47. When you skip this, amen. Amen. It says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? He said, is it anybody can say that we shouldn't baptize them because they already received the Holy Ghost? They got the Spirit of God, not the Holy Ghost of speaking in tongues. They got the Spirit of God. So if they got the Spirit of God, why can't we baptize them? That's like somebody coming to your job and say, they already been hired, but we don't want to give them a uniform. We don't want to give them an ID. But they already hired. Why wouldn't you give them one? So then on the flip side is also saying, you don't have to be baptized to get in the body. Baptism don't get you in. You had to already be in to get baptized. I'm working hard. I know it. I'm just treading ground right now. Now you right there in Acts. Go back a little bit to Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Now this is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. See, now we already down to five of them. This is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. This way you get the power. Like I told you a minute ago, the Great Commission of Greater and Greatest. Wait till you receive the power. Don't go out preaching if you ain't got no power. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. It says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the what? Holy Ghost, not many days hence. So that's a difference. Amen? I'm just giving you a Bible. We'll pull it out. Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. You say, Pastor, you're going so fast and talking so much. I'm supposed to talk so much because I want to give you enough to be able to go down to hell with a water pistol. I'm talking about, and put the fire out. We got some hell going on in our lives, and ain't nobody got no word to put the fire out. Can I get to the church if I can call? You don't need to call them folk. They did the same thing you supposed to do. Study. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Are you there? You get this, say amen. It says, verse 11, he says, and I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. See, this is the baptism with fire. See, this, watch this. This is the one where you go through some stuff. Whole lot of folks, you sound real good. You sound like what you're going to do, and you so spiritual and all that. But now when hell hits your house, I don't know. God must not be. Now, you need to be baptized with some fire. You got to go through something. How are you going to be able to stand before folks if you can't go through nothing? Don't talk to me until you lost a kid. You trying to tell me how I should act when I lost one. Man, you ain't even lost none. How in the heck you know how I should act? How I should act, I lost my husband. You ain't had no husband to lose. Have you been through your husband cheating on you, your wife cheating on you? Have you been through, wait till you get baptized in the fire, then come back and tell me. You just talking right now. You trying to tell me them little scriptures. Doc, I'm trying to tell you what thus, I'm in this now. You got to wait till you get baptized. Wait till you go through some fire. Then come back and tell me. It look different now, don't it? All of the scriptures you was quoting, that don't mean nothing right now, do it. The Lord had to come get you. Yeah. You know how you get to talk to somebody, they get real spiritual. Well, what you should do, I'm telling you, the scripture says, man, sit down. Have you been through that? Have you been delivered from that? Have you ever had that? Let's both pray to God help me, because right now you ain't helping me. That's what Job said to the miserable comforters. They come up there trying to act spiritual. Well, Job. Job said, man, sit down. Man, I just lost everything, Doc. You better have a word in your mouth. Don't come up them steps all the way up here with that foolishness. Man, I need to hear from God. I ain't trying to hear all that old Bibles. You just remember 10 scriptures. You remember 10 scriptures. Now you want to get them off on me. They're not even relevant to my problem. You just want to say something. All right, stay with me. I ain't got that much time. So you got baptism into the fire. Now go to Matthew chapter 20. You say, Pastor, this is just too much Bible. No, you're supposed to have this much Bible. It's supposed to make you go home wondering and chasing. And man, Paul said, good God Almighty. Paul said, I want to be apprehended by what has apprehended me. Paul said, I'm trying to figure out what got me. Man, this thing's so up on me, I'm spending my time trying to discover what it is. This thing is real. You go to church and you ain't come out with a scripture. Man, what the heck was we doing? Matthew chapter 20, are you there? Verse 23, I'm finna get you out of here. I'm getting you out of here. It says, and he said unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with my baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right hand and to sit at my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them whom it is prepared for of the Father. See, this is the baptism into his sufferings. I want to be in the ministry. Come on, get in here. But you got to get baptized in some of the baptism that he suffered. They despised him, used him. They lied on him, took his money and cheated him. Come on, somebody. It wasn't the world that crucified him. It was the church. You want to get in the ministry, you need to get baptized in what he had to go through. So now that's your seven baptisms. Let me get these last three and we out of here. The laying on of hands, Isaiah 64. Hurry up, turn there. Isaiah chapter 64. See, you got Bible now. You got Bible now. You a bad man. You a bad woman. The devil just can't run up on you. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. When you get there, say amen. Amen. It says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay. Thou art the potter, and we are the work of thy hands. Listen here. Listen, watch this. Good God Almighty. See, the laying on of hands. See, we are the work. God is the potter. See, I can't put something on you that God didn't already put on you. See, you got people laying hands on folk trying to say something to them. That's not the real laying purpose. Laying on of hands is to confirm what's already in you. That's why you notice that they only lay hands on folks at graduations, impartations, celebrate, because what they really saying is you've already done the work. We're just confirming. I can't put nothing in you that wasn't in you. He said, ain't the only thing I can do is confirm what the Father already, amen. Here you laying hands on folks. That's why he said, lay hands on no man suddenly. Why? Because you don't even know if the work was finished. You just round there with your little gift. And you can't make nothing happen to them people that God ain't already released. You got to find out what the Lord has done. You got to know what the scriptures has said. I can't speak nothing into your life. It's got to already be written about your life. Okay, go to John chapter 11. This is our last text and we out of here. John chapter 11. That was the laying on of hands. That was the fourth foundation. Now here's the fifth one, resurrection of the dead. John chapter 11. You say, pal, we ain't coming back here no more. But man, they be in there doing all that's too much for me. Now, but then you're going to live the rest of your life not knowing nothing, not being able to walk in nothing, and you declaring that you something. Be who you're going to be. John chapter 11, verse 20. Start with 21. Are you there? Say amen. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now, whosoever thou will ask of God, God will give it to thee. Whatsoever thou shalt ask God. Verse 23, and Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believe in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Watch this. I don't care what's going on in your life, what circumstance, what sickness, what disease. Jesus is the resurrection. You're not waiting on a resurrection. Come on, somebody. If you grab this, you can talk to cancer. Jesus is the resurrection. He has the power. You got him. Now he said, turn around and speak to that thing. Speak to the mountain and command it to be gone. You got that power. Quit running to God talking about the problem. Go back to your problem and tell your problem about the bigness of your God. God, this Bible, if you get a hold of this, I'm telling you, you will see miracles. Don't tell me God can't do what's impossible with you ain't impossible with God. All right, this is last one. That was the resurrection of the dead. Now, look at Revelation chapter 20, and we're going home. Say, thank you, preacher. Yeah, we're going home, we're going home. Revelation chapter 20. I told you there's a preaching, and then there's a teaching mantle. Revelation chapter 20, and let's look at verse 11. My God, my God. My God, my God. It says, are you there? Say amen. Amen. Nah, y'all ain't there. I hear some pages. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whom face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Oh, glory be to God. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged after every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Watch this. Now that's eternal judgment. See, watch this. There's two books, and I'm not going to mess with it. By God, I'm going to send you home today. There's two books. See, you one book got everybody's name in it. You don't choose to want God. You already in. You got to choose to opt out. Your name is already written in the book. Oh, don't make. Come on, somebody. See, God ain't coming down because you had a new birth and he got to go open the book and write a new name. Your name is already in the book. You got to say, I don't want to be in there.
Thank you, Lord.
Is this Bible, y'all? Yeah. See, once you open up your Bible, it's another whole world. You just got to get in there. You don't choose out. I mean, you don't choose to get in. You choose to get out. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You done had enough. You done had enough. Thank you, Father. I know it's enough. Glory be to God. Father, in the mighty name of your son, give the Lord a hand of praise. Don't patty click. Don't patty cake.